In, so, oh, thanks, Ms. Sims. My name is Michael Spaeth. I am the principal planner with the town of Oral Valley, and I'm going to be the facilitator of our discussion this evening. I'm also the town's primary staff reviewer, reviewing the applications when they come in. So as a facilitator, I know that's the applicant staff over there, so I mostly just look this way. As a facilitator, I am neutral. I want to make sure this is a fair and efficient process. Everybody feels like their voices are heard. We want to listen to your questions, hear your comments. If there are design solutions that can be discussed that might mitigate some concerns that you have, now is the opportunity to try and do that. On the front end of the process is truly the best opportunity for neighbors to have impactful change on a development application, and so that's kind of our goal for this evening. So hopefully folks grabbed a list of ground rules when you came in. Otherwise, they're listed on the screen, as well as for those folks listening on Zoom. Essentially, they boil down to, let's just be respectful. Be respectful of staff, of the applicant, of our fellow participants, so we can have an efficient conversation. For anybody who hasn't been to town campus before, we do have restrooms out the doors you came in to the right. There's drinking fountains out there as well. If you haven't silenced your cell phones, please go ahead and do so. I better do that too, just to make sure. Let's see, for those on Zoom, your microphones will be muted throughout the presentations, and then once we get to the question and answer period, we will unmute those as you raise your hand. I will be providing more information on how to do that moving forward during my presentation. There's four of you here tonight. Did you guys all get postcards for tonight's meeting?
No.
Yes. Eventually.
Eventually it came. Okay. Sounds good. Well, if you didn't, and you want to be notified of upcoming meetings as this project moves forward, if you signed in, that's great. That means you're going to be on our notification list for all upcoming meetings in the future. I'd also like to point you to a good resource on a website called ovprojects.com. This project has its own webpage there where we will continuously update revised information, revised plan sets, things of that nature as they come into us. So that's a great resource to bookmark on whatever tablet or computer you might use. We are scheduled to go to 7:30 tonight. I'm not sure if we'll go quite that long, but of course staff and the applicant are always available after the meeting to answer any other questions you might have. Just to be clear, we do not have a formal submittal tonight. We require these pre-submittal neighborhood meetings on the front end to try and again have that effectual change before the actual formal application comes in. And so it's important to hear from you guys early in the process. This is the property owner's request. It's not the town's. We are required to provide due diligence, but just want to reiterate it is their charge to justify why their application should be approved. Tonight's agenda, first I'm going to describe a few ways to stay involved and opportunities to stay involved as we move through this process, and then I'll provide a brief overview of the applicant's proposal. I'll then turn it over to him, Mr. Paul Olin, representing the property owner, and he's going to go into in more in-depth detail about what their requests involves. And then the third step, most importantly, is to turn it over to you folks and have a round-robin conversation about what questions you might have, what comments you might like to make, or what opinions you have of the project. Again, I'd like to reiterate, now's the opportunity to have the most impact on the project, so if you have your questions, now's a great time to do them tonight at this meeting. And then eventually I'll talk about it at the tail end about the upcoming meetings moving forward. I do ask that you please hold your questions until both presentations are finished. We may answer them as we're doing that. So where are we in the process? Hopefully you got to see the informational video that was posted on ovprojects.com late last month. We are at the first neighborhood meeting tonight. And again, we do not have a formal submittal from the applicant, but we do expect one in the near future. Once staff and the applicant have worked through code compliance, both of these applications require consideration by the Planning and Zoning Commission and then also Town Council. Both of those meetings are also opportunities for the public to be involved and give public testimony to those two deciding bodies. So for anybody who's not familiar with the location, I've put a map up here on the screen. So it's outlined in yellow. It's just to the west of Caliber Collision and the Brakemasters locations. It's just north of Pushview Lane, It's immediately east of the Oro Valley Adult Medicine, and you can see an imaging spa there for context as well. And, of course, the CDO multi-use path borders it on the north. And with regard to the applicant's proposal, there are two requests that we are going to be considering, and they will run concurrently, or the expectation is they will run concurrently. The first one is a conditional use permit for the self-storage facility. The second applications are a conceptual site and landscape plan for both the self-storage and the RV storage facilities. The CSP, as it's known, or the conceptual site plan for the self-storage, is about 101,000 square feet with building heights at 30 feet or two stories, and there will be two access points internal to the center serving that particular building. The conceptual site plan will also include pedestrian connections that are already there, maintaining those, and then adding additional connections as well. The second component of that is for the RV storage, which will be fully screened and will have one access point. And again, it is accessed internally, so there will be no new accesses points off of Push View Lane. Of course, these site and landscape plans also include things like buffer yards, screening, water harvesting areas, things like that. So that's what we will be working on with the applicant in terms of code compliance before it goes to the commission and council. So for those who aren't familiar with the site, zoning and history, I did want to just kind of briefly touch on that. So the entire Mercado del Rio shopping center is zoned regional commercial or C2, as shown in the upper right-hand image on the screen in pink. Within that zoning district, self-storage does require a conditional use permit, and I'll explain what that is in a little bit more detail in a moment. And then it also does allow a maximum building height of 30 feet. Again, the Mercado del Rio Shopping Center, now outlined here in blue in the bottom right-hand image, also had a master development plan approved in 2004 for the entirety of the area shown in the bottom right-hand image outlined in blue. That master development plan essentially locked in place the lot layouts, the circulation patterns for both pedestrians and vehicles, perimeter setbacks, and courtyards and things of that nature. And then, of course, sometime around 2006, 2007, construction on those pads actually started. And, of course, it is today what it is, with about five developed pads out of the total 16 that were originally approved. So what does staff look at for these two types of applications? For a conditional use permit, that's an extra level of review based on a particular type of use that is, again, required in this zoning district. That use permit has specific criteria in the code that we look at, specifically, not detrimental to the public health, safety, and welfare of the general public, that it is reasonably compatible with surrounding uses, that it's consistent with the general plan, and the hours of operation, again, are consistent and won't have undue impacts on neighbors. So we will look at each of these criteria and evaluate this conditional use permit request against those. The one we more often than not really focus on is the reasonable compatibility with surrounding uses. Of course, we're looking at this to see if it fits into this particular site in this particular context. So we will have more information as the process moves forward and a formal submittal is received. With regard to the conceptual site and landscape plans, the zoning code does have design principles and design standards that we will look at and evaluate those site plans against those requirements, as well as some more specific self-storage use specific criteria. So we do have specific criteria to evaluate these types of uses. So with that, I'll turn it over to Mr. Rowland, the property owner's representative, to give his presentation.
Well, good evening. My name is Paul Oland. I'm with Paradigm Land, and I'm representing the property owner and the developer. Where's my guy?
We're getting that turned on for you.
It's okay. I can just. Okay. Sorry. So as Mr. Spaeth mentioned, the site plan here has two main elements. We've got the main self-storage building, which is shown in yellow there. We've got, that's two stories. It's about 101,000 square feet, as Mr. Spaeth mentioned. access is entirely internal. This is a slightly different map than the one that was in staff's presentation, because we've actually adjusted the location of the access into the RV storage. That was based on some very preliminary comments we got back after our pre-application meeting with the town. So that's been adjusted. Again, no exterior access to Pushview Lane. It's all coming off of the existing access roads within Mercado del Rio. No worries. So, I'll just say that self-storage is an extremely low traffic generator. So it's not going to create a traffic burden. Certainly it will create less traffic than what was shown originally on the previous site plan in terms of uses. So this will be have a smaller impact. Landscaping will be around the perimeter as required by the town of Oro Valley. If you're familiar with the area, you know that there's quite a bit of landscaping already along Pushview Lane. That's from a landscape buffer yard that was constructed as part of the overall Mercado del Rio development. So that will stay. We'll actually be supplementing it here and there where there's some bare spots that have emerged over the years. And then the RV storage is going to have a screen wall, which is shown in a later slide, to visually screen those RVs parked there. And then we'll also be putting some additional landscaping around those edges as well. So this is the proposed building. It's a lot different than your typical self-storage that most people are used to over the last, I don't know how many decades, but modern self-storage buildings are really a different paradigm. I mean, they look more like office space, really. So Life Storage is the developer or the manager here. They are a modern self-storage provider that has about 1,100 facilities in 36 states that total about 67 million square feet. So they are deep into this business. They know what they're doing. They know how to build and operate a quality facility that maintains its clientele. They focus on technology that enhance safety and customer experience, like video surveillance. They have bright internal security lighting. They've got personal access codes. They've got an on-site manager. It's all climate controlled, of course. Those are all things that the modern self-storage facilities often have. So they will be incorporated into this design as well. It will meet the architectural design guidelines of the Mercado del Rio development and the town of Oro Valley, which are pretty stringent, and that's why you see the design in front of you. It's a mix of materials. You can see you've got stucco, you've got rock, you've got metal, you've got different colors, you've got some glazing, got some metal accents. So those are all incorporated. And again, this is an initial design. We'll be submitting this. It gets a little bit more refined to Oro Valley for the normal approval processes. This is, I apologize, it's a little bit zoomed out, but this is just a straight up elevation to give you a sense for the four-sided architecture here. So it's not just the front of the building that gets a mixture of materials and shapes and textures and colors. You get that treatment all the way around, so that no matter what side you're on, it still looks nice. I mean, that's the point, and that's what Oro Valley requires too. So it's what the developer would want to do, but it does align well with Oro Valley's requirements. I also wanted to mention too, there's on this last slide, you can see there's a pedestrian trellis proposed there as well. That provides a little bit of shade. It strengthens the pedestrian corridors on site, and it also further breaks up some of the building massing there. So this is the one shot of the screen wall that will be surrounding the RV storage. You can see it incorporates some of the same materials that we've got on the building. Again, we've got stucco, we've got some window-esque shapes, we've got some rock veneer and a cap on there, as well as a articulated top
and it also has pop-outs there. So it's not just a flat wall on the front, it's not flat wall on top. It will kind of jog in and out. You can see in this very small diagram in the bottom right-hand corner that shape around the gray in the middle, if you can see that, that's the proposed wall alignment. So it does kind of come in and out. That allows the landscaping to kind of play back and forth with the wall and really further break up the massing and effectively screen the RVs. That's really the long and short of the proposal at this point. As Mr. Spaeth mentioned, we are putting together our submittal, so finalizing some of those details. And so we'll be making that submittal shortly, but we're here to hear what folks have to say.
Thank you much. You can have this. I'll just pull this over for you.
All right. Well, thank you, Mr. Olin. Now's the most important part of the evening. We do want to open it up to questions, comments, and opinions from participants here tonight. I do want to also mention a couple of things. So if you hear jargon or an acronym from either the applicant, myself, or any of the staff here, please don't hesitate to raise your hand, and we'll try and rephrase it in another way that's a little bit better to understand. If you've got more than one comment, great. We'll kind of do a round robin style between folks here in the room, and if we have any questions on Zoom, just to make sure it's equitable and everybody has an opportunity to ask a question and be heard. You'll notice Mr. Laws over here with the Town Engineering Department is going to take notes of all the questions, comments, and opinions we hear, and then we'll turn that into a neighborhood meeting summary that staff uses to generate a recommendation to the Planning and Zoning Commission. And then we also forward those documents to both the commission and council to help inform their decision as well. So, again, I'd like to remind you that tonight's really the best opportunity to effectuate change on this application. So if there are design solutions that we can walk and talk through to kind of mitigate any concerns that folks have, that's really the ideal. So if anybody has any questions, please go ahead and raise your hand, and we'll go around the room. Sure. So Ms. Sims is going to be our mic person tonight. So, and please make sure you talk into the microphone, because the folks on Zoom won't be able to hear you unless we do. So thank you.
So I have a statement. You're going to hold it? Okay. I have a statement. Hello, my name is Dr. John Doherty. I'm one of the owners of the medical practice right next to the proposed project. Our practice primarily serves geriatric patients. I am disappointed and opposed to the new proposal. When we purchased our lot and built our building, the master plan was to have small lots for office, retail, and restaurants. Taking six lots for storage will create a large footprint on the subdivision as a storage and auto subdivision, and once this occurs, it will be even more difficult for the owners of the empty lots to sell their land for office, retail, and restaurants. My concern is those empty lots will also then sell for auto and storage, and our practice will become completely out of place in the back of a large storage subdivision. This was never the town's plan or our intention when we purchased the lot. I'm also concerned about the large vehicle noise that may be created by moving trucks and vans pulling in just a few feet away from our eastern wall. I saw on the plans there that one of them has the storage facility entering from the front but wrapping around and going against our wall. The other has it sharing access with us and entering right against the wall of our building. So this could disrupt the ability to hear my patients. I'm also concerned that patients may be distracted by the noise of large vehicles as they are transferred out of their cars into wheelchairs or walk into my practice with their walkers from the parking lot. My last concern is that patients might find it difficult getting back to us as they try to maneuver around large RVs and moving vehicles that are driving next to or in front of our practice. I look forward to following the process very closely and ensure that things are right for my practice and my patients. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Mr. Olin, was there anything that you would like to address? And I also did forget to mention that for folks on Zoom, if you're not familiar with it, we do have a slide up on how to raise your hand to ask a question. And if you're on a phone, you have to hit star 9. So apologies for that. So, yeah, Mr. Olin. And Paul, will you pull this over in front of you, Mr. Olin? So folks online can hear you.
So I hear what you're saying. The vision for the overall Mercado del Rio was fairly open. I know that what it shows are a number of smaller lots, and that's probably what you were looking at when you purchased yours. This is an allowed use, so what we're trying to do, given that there's much larger uses right over here in the Rooney Ranch Shopping Center and some auto-related right here, which I would argue are also not really probably in line with your original vision. This is actually a pretty soft use here. It's not a noisy use. And like I said, it's a low traffic use. We don't have experience with these being bad neighbors. So other than the use itself,
perceptions that are associated with that, I don't think that there's a compatibility issue. That said, the access drive that's near you, we can certainly take a look at that. See if there's a way to maybe shift some of our building elements further east. It looks like we do have a little bit of room to slide that over, and maybe incorporate some additional buffering along your edge there to soften that up. We'll certainly take a look at that. I don't think that's a bad idea at all. We'll take a look at that.
If he's able to move that over some, does that help assuage your concerns a little bit?
I think that will definitely need to happen. If there's shared access and there's large vans pulling in with the same, like I said, I have frail seniors in that parking lot being transferred out of onto wheelchairs, and I am very concerned that there's going to be large vans pulling up in that same shared access and then coming along right along the side of the building. And just to correct what he just mentioned about this is kind of the plan was open, that's not true. When we purchased the lot, these lots were designed for retail, restaurants, and office. And if you look at the sign that's still up to this day for that lot, that's exactly what it says, retail, restaurants, and office. So, and that's when we purchased it years ago. So this kind of, well, this is how we planned it, that's not true. That's not true at all.
Sure, understood. So certainly taking a look at shifting some of that stuff further east and maybe getting rid of the shared access is something we'll certainly ask the applicant to take a look at as that formal submittal comes in. I do have a questioner on Zoom, so if you wouldn't mind, I'll switch over there. Could we get Rose Marie unmuted, please? And please make sure that you're unmuted on your end as well.
Okay.
Go ahead. We can hear you.
Okay, thanks. Really like the doctor's concerns. I think that that's, I'm in medical as well, so his concerns are so valid. I'm asking, though, what kind of need is there for this? We have new storage facilities off of Oracle, right, just built. I know that there was proposed storage, I don't know whatever happened with it, for Tangerine and La Cañada. How much storage facilities does one small town need?
Okay, great. Thank you for your question. Mr. Olin, do you have some information on that?
Well, sure. Oro Valley is not really a small town anymore, and there is a need. There are several self-storage developers who are interested in filling that need in Oro Valley. They all have their metrics and
They do a thorough job of analyzing the demographics and the need, and they wouldn't be developing here if there wasn't a need.
Okay, thank you. I know you have a question. Please, go ahead.
Yes, my name is Dr. Cindy. I'm the other owner to Oro Valley Adult Medicine, and I'm diametrically opposed to having any shared access with our parking lot. I mean, in this era of COVID and such, we've actually had patients that we had to see in the parking lot.
Sure.
Okay. So we can't have strangers or people coming about with our frail elderly patients. That's just not going to work. And when we first purchased this, we were absolutely told that the automotive sector would be clearly just where they currently are without any immersion into the current other spaces. If that weren't the case, I don't think that we'd even be having this meeting. You would just proceed because that was the intended case to begin with. And the vision that we were told was that this is supposed to be like more of a little village where people can come, walk around. It's supposed to be a pedestrian area, almost like Casas Adobes, where Oro Valley would have its own sector where they can come about and shop and do things in a pleasant environment. And that does not really go along with that vision. And that's the only reason we purchased a lot to begin with. That's what kept us in Oro Valley. And unlike most other doctors, we didn't move from this area because of that. So this is completely different than what we had originally intended 14 years ago. And this, our current practice is why we're still here.
Sure. So, Mr. Olin, I realize you're not the property owner, but is there anything that you might be able to add in terms of why this request may be coming in now after the site's been vacant for a while? Is there anything to...
Well, yeah, thank you, Mr. Spaeth. Yeah, I wasn't involved in the original, clearly, so I'm not sure who told you what. The fact of the matter is there's, I think, five, so there's like a third of the spaces that have been developed over the years, so the demand really hasn't materialized for perhaps whatever that original vision was, and so the zoning allowing a wider range of uses allows it to get developed as other things that, again, I don't know what that original vision was, but it allows it to get utilized rather than sit vacant. So the task now is to figure out a way to do it in a way that is compatible with its surroundings.
Will this be manned? Or is this just you get a key entry and there's no one there? Because sometimes I go in at night, I go in on the weekends, I park in the back there because if my patients need me, I go in. And so I would feel very uncomfortable if there were a bunch of strangers who could potentially be there, but I don't necessarily know if they're of danger or not. So far, since it's been empty, I haven't seen anyone, so it's been fairly safe. But with this new issue... And with the RV storage, I'm also concerned because during the summertime, there was an RV parked on one of the other empty lots, and a person was living in there. And so it concerns me, and we finally had to call the HOA to say, listen, it doesn't look like this should happen. And so finally that was addressed, but why would that not attract other RV people to go there on empty lots and just stay there? I mean, is it going to be manned? Is it going to be... guarded? How are we going to secure this?
Sure. So the it will be an on-site manager during business hours. It'll always be locked. So customers can only get in with an access code that's assigned to them so they can track who's coming and going. Obviously people will not be allowed to live in their RVs that are being stored here. And no, I mean, that's just a fact. Right?
And the RV storage will be gated, I presume.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah, that'll be locked too. So you can't, it's really not a very, open arrangement here. It's all very secure. I mean, that's kind of the whole point, right? Is it's, you're storing your stuff because you don't have room for it and you want it not to get stolen. So people put it in a secure facility, whether it's the RV or the building, because, that minimizes the risk there, so it has to be secure. In terms of people coming to access their units, I imagine most of them will be Oro Valley residents, just because that's part of the the draw of this site is it's really a central infill piece, and this is a use that isn't, there's not a lot of this around that people can use. So probably it'll be mostly people who live around here. So I don't know if this were developed as something else, would you have a different concern? I mean, would you still be concerned about people who might be there?
No, because there would be actual, like, retailers or restaurateurs. There would be actual employees that I could consult with.
Yeah.
If it's 8 o'clock at night or 10 o'clock at night. There's no one else there but me and my little patient.
Sure. Well, like I said, we can look. I don't think that's... I don't want to say that's an invalid concern. Of course, it's a valid concern, but the number of people who come and access their units is mostly during business hours, and in the couple hours on either end of business hours when people are getting off of work or they've had dinner and then they run out and get something or put something back. There's not a ton of late night. I mean, it closes, I think customer access will close at 11. So after 11, you just can't get in. If there's anybody on site, they do have security cameras that are monitoring the whole site. So if there's an issue, it can be seen and recorded. Certainly the Oro Valley Police could be called, just like if there was somebody, hanging out in your parking lot, right? You would call the police. That's not associated with this facility. That just happens to be somebody who's in the wrong place. So, but in terms of the foot traffic, it's very low. And again, we can look at strengthening this boundary here to cut down on the interface for sure.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Rowland. We didn't have a question back here.
Yes, I have a couple questions. My name is Aldi Rose. And I'd like to know if this developer is developing other storage units here in Oro Valley and how many they have already developed.
Okay. Mr. Rowland?
Sure. I don't believe they're developing any others in Oro Valley right now. But the company has well over 1,000 of them nationwide.
And how many are in Oro Valley or Tucson?
I don't believe there's any in Oro Valley. I don't know about Tucson.
I know the answer to that.
Oh.
Well,
okay.
There's actually...
There's six storage facilities currently open in Oro Valley, and that doesn't include the other ones that are being proposed on.
Oh, I think the question was from this particular builder, though.
Right.
Not just all storage of it.
One.
Okay. Yeah, maybe one, if there is one. We're not.
I don't think there's. Yeah, go ahead. And just introduce yourself.
Hey, everyone. Brian Kearney with Johnson Development Associates. We're the applicant. This is the only facility we're developing in Oro Valley. And I just got to say, everyone in their life is going to need storage at some point, whether it's death, divorce, downsizing. People can roll their eyes, but at some point you're going to need it. And the demand for storage in Oro Valley is very, very high. And the supply is low and getting even lower. So if we leave it as is now, the current self-storage operators, they're going to be over 95% occupied and they're just going to raise rents on everyone. But if we bring in more supply, we can lower the price on the self-storage. So I really think it is a service that everyone needs, and us at Johnson Development Associates, we're always going to be good neighbors, and we hear your concerns. They're valid. We want to work with you guys and make the project better, not just brush it aside. So I think we can all work together on this, and I'm very adamant that there's a demand for this service in Oro Valley.
Can I ask, I know you said there's none in Oro Valley. Are there any in the Tucson metro area that folks could familiarize themselves with?
We don't have any active projects
okay.
in the Tucson area. This is the only one.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, my next question is, how many RVs are you planning? And then That's an open, I mean, it's with all the sun and stuff we have here, because I'm an RV user. I'm surprised you're not doing covered RV. And as an RV user, and the people are in their RVs at all times, and 11 o'clock at night, I've never had a storage that let me go in at 11 o'clock at night. So I'm just wondering how many RVs are slotted for that area and why it's not being, I mean, I can't imagine not having covered.
We've got 52 spaces in there.
And so are you planning on covering it?
Right now, we're not planning on covering it.
We've analyzed the market, and, you know, with the covered RV parking, usually comes a premium, and we found that the demand is actually a lot higher for the uncovered parking. So if you wanted it to be covered, it will cause the rate on that space to rise. I'm glad to hear you're an RV owner. It sounds like this could be a potential service that you would maybe use at some point.
I'm not an RV owner. I'm an RV user. Those are my two questions.
Okay, thank you. We do have one more question on Zoom, but it's from someone who's already asked a question, so I'd like to give anybody who has not asked a question here an opportunity. Back there, Mr. Loomis.
Paul Loomis, and I was part of the council that approved the original development of this. And the auto repair facilities were specified to be at the east end of this development, and that the development was going to be an open style with a very customer-friendly style of development. But a couple of things that I'm concerned about. I'm also a neighbor of this development as well. And number one, you talk about a screen wall for the RV storage. There is already a wall on the south end of where the RV storage is. Is that what you're proposing to enhance? That's number one. Number two is parking and vehicle storage for your neighbors. Is when the development was originally approved, storage of vehicles was prohibited because you had where the brake max is, that was going to be an auto repair sort of facility like it is now. The spot to the north of it was going to be a car rental, and there was significant concern about storage of rental cars in that facility, and so that vehicles were restricted from being seen from within the PAD, so that where right now when you have all those vehicles parked out there now, that's not a compliant use. The next item that I have is you talked about the lighting. And one of my concerns is you have this massive building, and the visibility of that building is going to be you're going to see it from Push View Lane, and you're also going to see it from Lambert Lane across the Wash. And you have residents there, and I'm concerned about your lighting. Is your lighting going to be 24 hours around the facility, and how does that impact the surrounding neighbors? Next, I talked about the view from Lambert Lane. The office, I assume your office and people that are going to be there during working hours are going to be in the storage building itself, and you're not going to have anybody managing or taking care of the RV storage area. Is that correct? The next that I have is a suggestion for you that could decrease your building size would be to add a basement to your facility. If you have to have it, that could cut the size and mass of the building itself and still give you your additional 100,000 square feet of storage area. The storage area at Steam Pump Ranch has a basement. It is in a similar scenario as what you have here, so it can be done. And next, I agree that the storage facilities nearby in the surrounding area is you have a new storage facility at Steam Pump Ranch. You have one across this Oracle Road from that storage facility. You have two storage facilities on Oracle Road, one right up the street by Calle Concordia that just opened, and you have another one across the street just a little bit further to the south. And then you have this proposed one at Tangerine. So there are a lot of facilities going in. And while I understand the need, I think that the use of a self-storage facility and RV storage is in direct conflict to what was presented to the council when they approved that development and the original zoning on that development. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So, Paul, did you have a list there, or have a list that we can...
No, I got a list. Thanks. So the first question was about the existing wall that runs along Cushview Lane. So I think that will just stay because we're not proposing to, go down into that landscape buffer yard. So the wall we're proposing, I lost the remote, but is going to be behind that and taller. A very small wall that's there. If it bugs you, we can take out the old wall probably. But
I guess what you're doing is when you have two walls, you're making it, it's certainly not police friendly or crime safe.
Yeah, and I can chime in on that. So from staff's perspective, we wouldn't want to create an alley between two walls like that. So, right, we would also push them to get rid of the little wall and put in the new one should this be approved.
Okay, yeah, and that's... We don't have a problem with that.
Sure.
I don't know if you're creating an alley with a very short wall, but that's okay. We'll ditch it.
And not to mention the wall is up to 12 feet tall. And we actually, with that rendering view we put in the presentation, our architect put RVs in that.
Can you step closer to the mic?
Sorry. We had the rendering done with RVs shown behind that wall. So from whatever angle you look at it, you're not going to be able to see the RVs. So it's a 12-foot tall wall. It's right what's out there right now is like knee high. So we're doing our best here to address the city's concerns about being able to see the RVs, address your concerns. Most storage developers are not putting a 12-foot wall around their RV storage. So we're really going above and beyond on this measure.
Well, it's screening, and it also provides even more security.
And I would just like to chime in there. We certainly appreciate the applicant's willingness to work on that. We haven't figured out what that final height will be. Our sole requirement that is entirely screened from surrounding view. So the 12-foot might work. It may work out that it needs to be a little bit higher, but we're still working with the applicant through that.
Second question was about parking for nearby auto-related businesses and those existing cars that are parked out on the dirt lot are not in compliance with what was agreed to. No question there.
Well, where are they going to go? Where are all those vehicles that are supporting your neighbors going to be parked?
My understanding is they're building a new parking lot to the north. That's going to add two or three dozen spaces, and just looking at the aerial, I don't think there's that many cars out there, so that seems like it ought to solve it. I mean, I know staff is working on that. Sure, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I was at the site today, and you have all those cars strewn about, just parked in that gravel lot, and it's was probably 30 cars in no sort of orderly fashion. Again, we're going to have walls screening the entire RV parking area. It's going to be very orderly. Security cameras that our store manager will be looking at from the office, the leasing office. So I think it's going to be a drastic improvement over what you're seeing out there today. These lots have sat there vacant for 15 years. I mean, I just want them to continue sitting vacant and no other businesses are allowed to come in and develop. That doesn't really seem fair. So
regarding the parking, I can chime in and just add that we are working with the neighboring property owner, Caliber Collision, on a revised site plan for their northernmost building, expanding the parking spaces so that they will get most of that overflow parking, if you will, onto their property behind screened-in walls. So that is actively being worked on right now.
Thanks. Excuse me. The next question had to do with the visibility of the building. And I guess I would just suggest that Target is right there. It's a much bigger building, and it's certainly visible from those vantage points that you mentioned. So this is not out of character for that vista. The lighting, there will be some 24-hour lighting for security purposes. So it'll all be compliant, fully shielded. We'll do a photometric study that will demonstrate that we're meeting all of the restrictions in terms of no light trespass into adjacent properties. And that would include the CDO WUSH, which is a wildlife corridor. But there will be lighting on site to satisfy OVPD in terms of their safety requirements. There are a lot of new storage facilities in Oro Valley, and there's, people in Oro Valley have a lot of stuff. So the demand is there. The industry is saying that there is demand. I don't think that the criteria for conditional use permit review and approval include market viability. I mean, that's more on the private sector to determine. But again, this is a significant investment that is only being made very carefully after a lot of due diligence about the strong market. I'm going to wager a guess that putting in a basement wouldn't work on the economic side, just because that really increases the cost of the development. It also complicates access. In terms of the office and how they manage the RV storage area, could you talk to that?
Yeah, I can also chime in on the market of their viability. We do a lot of due diligence on our team for months, honestly, before we sign up a deal. And the way we measure this is the national average for self-storage across the population is about 7.0 rentable square feet per person. And in Oro Valley, it's less than 5. And that includes any project that's under construction that has been submitted to planning and proposed. So we're factoring in every single storage facility that everyone has brought up tonight. And it's still well below the national average. So the demand is still there. So you have that. And then on the other hand, you guys know your town is growing at a very rapid rate. We're talking double-digit population growth over the last 5-10 years. So that population growth is going to fill up these facilities that you're talking about in less than a year. And like I said, the other folks are going to start jacking up the prices. So if you don't bring in more supply, it's just going to mean more expensive services for the residents of Oro Valley.
And the RV oversight?
Yeah. So as I mentioned, for a facility of this size, we're going to have 2 store managers. So even if one was in the leasing office helping a customer, you could have another that could be out going inside the facility, checking out the units, going to the RV storage. And at their computer screen, they will have every single view from every single camera that's on the site. So if someone's doing something they're not supposed to be doing in the storage facility, they're able to see it and address it. Someone's doing something they're not supposed to be doing in the RV area, they can see it and go do something about it or call the police if needed. Our leases will prohibit storing anything flammable, hazardous, dangerous in the units. It will prohibit living inside of a unit or an RV parking space. Again, Life Storage is our operator. Over 1,000 facilities across the country, they have seen it all, and their leases reflect that to restrict all those items. So I don't think you guys will have any issues once we open this facility.
Thanks. Yeah. Okay, thank you. And so we do go, I saw a hand here, so we'll come up to you, but I'm going to first go to Rosemarie again on Zoom, if we could. Carlos, please.
Hi again.
Hello. Go right ahead.
Thank you. It was nice to hear a little more detail around the due diligence you've done on demand. So that's interesting. What about due diligence on crime? Because what I've read is it's about 1.5 break-ins a month is the average nationwide.
I don't so have specific statistics about crime nationwide. So I guess I can't really speak to that, but I imagine a lot of those break-ins are into people's homes that maybe
have security systems
or...
No, I did it strictly on storage facilities.
It probably includes a lot of... That probably includes a lot of traditional old-style storage facilities, which are the... You know, longer metal buildings that have vehicular access, drive-up access to every unit, where everyone is secured with a padlock. Those have a much lower level of security than this. So I would imagine that statistic, wherever it came from, probably includes a lot of activity from that sort of facility, which won't be issues that this has, because you can't even get in the door without a passcode.
Okay, Ms. Sims?
What hours are your managers going to be there, like on site?
So it depends on the location, but I'd say typically sometime around 8 a.m. to 6 p.m.
And when are people allowed to store?
Typically, again, changes by location, but worst case from your perspective would be 6 a.m. to 11 p.m.
Okay. Go right ahead.
Just to give you some history you may not know about that area, those cars that are parked in that lot that shouldn't be, those have been broken into. So there already is a history of theft there. Also, we've had a real problem that I've sent to the town that... people will park in our lot and be missing for hours or even days. And at first, we've called the police multiple times. And the police have said, there's nothing we can do because you don't have a no trespassing sign. So then we put 3 no trespassing signs. And then again, we had the issue occur. And they couldn't find the person. So they said, there's nothing we can do because we can't find the person who's left their car on your property. And so the only thing we could do is tow it. So my concern is a few things. One is I'm sure you do know this, but the owners who are the people of these owning these lots that are selling them to you also own lots 1 and 2, which are directly in front of us. I assume they have some agreement with Collision to allow them to park their cars there. And I'm just worried that maybe those cars will then be moved to their other empty lots. And then that will attract even more theft, and then more cars parked in our lot that shouldn't be there.
Sure. So I guess the last point, I'm not aware of any sort of agreement. I do know that those cars that are parked out on the dirt lot are in violation, right? Has a violation been issued, or is that just something you guys are working through with them?
So from our perspective, if it's a vehicle that is, you know, clearly like an employee or a customer vehicle, they come in the morning, they work, and then they leave, the town is usually pretty relaxed in terms of trying to enforce anything on that perspective. But if it's clearly a junk vehicle, not junk, but, you know, like a damaged vehicle that they're trying to work on and it's left there for a prolonged period of time, yes, that's a violation of our code. And so that's what Caliber Collision is working through right now, because they do have a violation active in the system that we're, again, working with them to expand their site plan or site area so that a lot of those vehicles, the under, you know, construction kind of thing, will be moved behind a screened-in wall, right? So those vehicles won't be there anymore, and we will continue to manage, you know, if they are, and notify the property owner. And again, if it's just day use where an employee comes in and parks, we're generally not going to have too much heartburn with that. Now, in terms of, you know, whether there's a cross parking agreement or shared parking agreement amongst the property owners in the Mercado del Rio Center, we don't know that. That's a private agreement between the property owners of the businesses and the HOA, right? So maybe we can research that and get some more information from those folks.
You guys may know. Off the top of my head, I don't know.
20%.
20%?
20% of all business parking.
Okay.
Okay.
Maybe I could speak to the crime piece.
Sure.
You bring up that the cars have been broken into. I think, you know, that's going to be a pro of our development, is that there's no security cameras right there. I mean, that area is dark. It's ripe for someone to come break in. But if you have 12-foot walls, cameras, gates, those are all deterrents that are going to prevent theft. So I think it'll improve that situation.
Okay, thank you. And we do have another speaker on Zoom. So, Carlos, if we could have Gary Andros.
I'm unmuted. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Go right ahead.
Good evening to you all. I'm the owner of Lot 3 in Mercado del Rio. So I'm a little further west off of Pushview Lane, just as the entrance, the furthest west entrance coming in. I'm in support of this. I'm in support of the development with certain caveats. First and foremost, question is the internal ingress, egress, the drive, is that going to be blocked by any way, or is that going to be as it is existing and allow traffic to be able to come and go within all three entrances and exits? The second question I have, and the point that I want to bring up, is encroachment onto your west neighbor. I believe that needs to be addressed, and I'm knowing Oro Valley and how diligent you folks are, I'm sure you'll address it well. I think maybe that access should be blocked to not allow entrance of the self-storage from the access between the two parcels, and maybe create some kind of synergy where you can park along the frontage of the road and possibly maybe reconfigure some of the accesses to it, so that way you create maybe a little landscape buffer for the benefit of the parcel to the west. The RV storage, I think it's necessary. There's a lot of subdivisions in Oro Valley that do not allow RVs, and the owners don't have any place to put them, so they illegally park them. So I think it's a benefit for the town if they were to have this type of facility available. The two-story height, you know, is it a problem? Not really, because we have that throughout Oro Valley and other commercial centers. This is zone C2. It should be allowed. And I believe the CCNRs do allow it. And speaking about automotive, I believe the lots that are designed for the RV are allowed for automotive. The original idea of the village retail restaurant, yeah, it was a nice thought, but it failed miserably. I've had this property for a very long time. I have actively marketed it, and I have not been able, and it's been very well priced, and I've not been able to get any interest from anybody else because it's kind of not on Oracle. And because it's not on Oracle, it's just not in the public's eye for retail. So I believe this may enhance our subdivision if properly done with the respect of the existing tenants, the existing owners, and the issue of campers. And by the way, one gentleman reached out to me and told me about one being on my property that I totally did not know anything about. I think we need to put in bollards and hang some chains so they don't have access, because we do have sidewalks. And if the HOA does their job and do a proper maintenance of the common areas, I think that would limit any kind of homeless or people kind of coming over for extended stays. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. So again, Mr. Rowland, obviously it's seconding the, you know, access between the two uses there.
Sure. Yeah, that was the question I heard. Certainly, we're not going to be blocking any of the existing access roads, you know, right here, coming down, touching Pushview Lane. All of those accesses will continue to remain open. So no impact to those. And I agree. We, like I said, we'll take another look at this edge here and figure out a way to make that work a little bit better with y'all.
Okay, I don't have any other hands up on Zoom. Are there any? Oh, yes, ma'am.
Hi, you mentioned that national due diligence. So this is a local environment. I'd like to know if you know how many storage facilities there are in a 10-mile radius and what's the vacancy rate.
I don't have that off the top of my head, but we have looked into it and we've analyzed it, and there's absolutely demand for storage in Oro Valley.
Based on what facts and figures? I'd like to see the facts and figures because I've done the research. I'd like to see if ours jive.
Again, I talked about earlier, the national average for storage is 7.0.
I'm not talking about national. I'm talking about here.
No, I'm comparing the national average to the climate-controlled supply in Oro Valley, rentable square feet per person. And it is well below 7. So
let me, I'll jump in here. So we're going to have a second meeting because we do have site design things that need to be addressed and then shown back to the folks here tonight so that we can see and talk more through those revisions to try and mitigate some of those concerns. So I'd ask if you could look into that question and hopefully have some of that information available for when we do hold that second meeting. So. Sure. Did you, sir, you're the only one who hasn't asked a question. Did you want to? No? Okay. All right. Go ahead.
Any way of making the access to both just come off that first road instead of in the middle there? I'm sorry.
Oh, no.
So the east entrance you're talking about?
It's all the other car places.
So, you want to come up here and draw on here where you're talking? You just touch it with your finger, and it draws green lines.
I'm just thinking if we put it along here so that you can access both along just there and leave all this alone so they can just pull in this a ways.
Oh, over here. Well, I think we need to have an access road around the back of the building. That's just how these work and for fire and everything. But like I said, I think we can shift this over.
Well, if you can access it that way and then just block this.
I think that was a fire department comment in our pre-application meeting.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I need to have a fire access road that loops the building so that there's two access points.
Yeah, but that's where I have an issue.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, because basically I actually practice outside during COVID.
Yeah, in your parking lot?
Yes, and we have our handicaps here. Uh-huh. We have very few parking here. We all park here. I've got a back entrance back there where I sneak in uh-huh. at night or on weekends when my patients need to see me.
Sure.
And it's just us.
Sure.
It's just me. I unlock the back. I sneak in. I unlock the front. It's just us.
Yeah, got it.
Okay, and so the thing is, my concern is that if someone, I don't know who's legitimate and who's not, and there has been a time when my husband was there and doing landscaping, and there's a guy running across trying to get into his car. So The thing is, if we already know that they're not supposed to be there because no one's there, that's one thing. If right. I don't know if they're supposed to be there or not. I don't know what to do with that.
Hey,
and on the weekends or at like 7 o'clock at night, there's no one there that I can scream out to.
If you wouldn't mind, I've just learned, we didn't realize this, that the folks on Zoom can't see the green discussion that's happening. So if I could just politely ask, maybe if you would come up after the meeting and we can certainly talk that out a little bit more. We've got folks waiting on Zoom that aren't hearing anything, essentially. So just to be fair for them, by all means, we can continue that conversation. We're pretty much done here, it sounds like, unless there's more questions from anybody. Another one? Sure. Hold on. We can't hear you.
You got it. Okay.
What satisfies the conditional use? What is the condition? What are the conditions that need to be satisfied for this conditional use?
Sure. So, yeah, I think you may have come in just after I presented my portion of the presentation. So we've got specific criteria that are listed under the very first bullet. So there's four separate criteria that they will have to provide, essentially a narrative and justify how they are in conformance with those. And of course, the one that we focus on the most is the compatibility one, right? And wanting to make sure that it's appropriate for the context, it's appropriate for the site. Does it limit impacts to neighbors? And so that will be their charge as the applicant. We'll review it for code compliance, of course, but they'll have to carry the water and justify it for the commission and council. And so with that, I guess that's a nice way to wrap up. So I don't see any other hands. Like I said, we'll absolutely stay around if you've got more questions for us, but we are going to have a second neighborhood meeting. So if you signed in, you're going to get a notification for that. Again, please bookmark ovprojects.com because that's a great resource. When we do get the formal submittal, we will upload that to that website so you can look at it yourself. Feel free to email questions or comments you have to myself or ask at oralvalleyaz.gov. And we'll get you some responses. And then, of course, we'll notice before the next neighborhood meeting. With that, I appreciate your time. Hope everybody had a productive conversation. Feels like we did. So thank you much. And again, we'll be here if you have additional questions. Thank you.